Episode 416, April 15th, 2019.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Hello, Rob and Joe fans. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Rob and Joe Show. Update from last week, our buddy from the great band Galaxy Dynamite.
Was he pissed?
I emailed our buddy Michael, and I said, hey, we played, we talked about you on the show, played some clips of your band. He goes, thank you so much, all caps, for the shout out on your awesome show. I very much appreciate it. Means a lot for you to feature us. Have an amazing rest of your day. I was laughing my ass off in the car listening to it. Very positive guy.
Yeah, he is positive. Yeah. And let me also say this. I swear, I'm not just saying this because he's a nice guy. I was listening back. It's not that bad. It's good.
No, it's
yeah,
not.
It's not bad. I know Robbie immediately, you know, he's a very negative person, Robbie is. But I even defended it a little bit the last time. It wasn't horrible. It was, again, it was a little jam bandy.
Yes.
It is jam bandy. That's the problem.
But you don't like that, Robbie?
No,
you're not a big Grateful Dead fan, no Fish fan, no. Dave Matthews, no.
Galaxy Dynamite.
Galaxy Dynamite.
The Big Four. Are we going to call, is Galaxy Dynamite the official jam band of the Rob and Joe Show?
Yeah. They're not the official band, but we have one from every genre.
Exactly.
Jam band would be Galaxy Dynamite. Does he agree that they have a horrible, that I won't give back. I won't ease up on that. Galaxy Dynamite is
a horrible. Do you want to guess the origin of the name?
Do you know it?
No, but I think it would be funny if we, somebody like Napoleon Dynamite, and they realize that's too on the nose.
I'll bet it's random as hell. I'll bet there isn't some, you know, oh, well, you know, this guy used to drive a Galaxy and it was blown up. You know, it's not going to be that. It's going to be somebody, you know, who said, all right, let's think of a cool band name, and they were just throwing random word.
Maybe that's some drug that, you know, that's on the street. Give me some of that Galaxy Dynamite.
Tyler, shout out at the Winchester Brightbox, told me they have a jam band that plays at the Brightbox occasionally. And he said, nobody wants an encore. They can't wait to get out of there.
That's pretty funny.
That's a good band name. Encore never asked for. No encore.
Well, you think about this with jam bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I guess if you're, okay, the Dead.
Yes.
First of all, a lot of those guys know a lot of those songs, even if they're carrying on, right?
Of course.
But the other thing is, everyone in there is high as shit. Maybe that's the thing. In order to appreciate that, you have to be so affected by some other substance that it gives you this euphoria that sometimes bass and music will provide. So that might be that. And that way, you just want that music to continue. But for me, first of all, sometimes I'll be even like think about a song like Hotel California.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time I'm like, can the fucking guitar solo end? And that's one of the most iconic.
Yes.
And it's Don Felder and Joe Walsh. And we're like, no, please, I want this to end. So, you know, I like songs that where you're singing and that I can sing along.
Yes.
And if you're just going to see where the music takes you, I can't necessarily follow.
Well, look, either way, the official house jam band of the Rob and Joe Show is Hampton Roads' finest, Galaxy Dynamite.
I wonder if he considers themselves, if they consider themselves a jam band. So they'll hear this, and he'll respond again, right?
I'm sure that he will. He tends to respond immediately.
Since you guys are pen pals now.
We're best of friends, yes. you know, I can send a script to Joe Robinson. I'll get back to me in 3 weeks. But Michael from Galaxy Dynamite, he's on it. Another super fan of the show, Gramps, emailed me today with a brand new story, hot off the presses.
God.
It's continuing with the woman. Well, I'll just read it. I received the policy for the young woman who offered to pay me with pussy. It's going to be a good Gramps story when pussy is in the first sentence. I called her yesterday to let her know what time I would be there today. When I knocked on her door, she opened it wearing a robe. By the way, I delivered pizza for 4 years. That's never happened.
Never. People might have been in their pajamas, but that's...
When I went in, she sat down on the couch and I sat in a chair on the other side of the coffee table. I went over the policy and told her to look it over and call me if she had any questions. I then showed her the premium receipt book and told her I would mark it each time she paid me. I said, if you want to give me $38.18, I'll mark it for you now. She put her feet on the edge of the coffee table and slid them apart. She untied the belt on her robe and pulled it apart. She was totally naked. She said, do you want some? I took Joe's idea and asked if she wanted to take a picture and send it to the company. She said, no, I'm going to pay you. I thought you might just want to have a little fun. I said, it's very tempting, but like I told you, I can't do business that way. She said, that's not about business. Don't you like me? I said, more every time I see you, but I have to fight off my desires and just try to do business the right way. She got up and went to get the money. She came back and paid me. I marked her book and got up to leave. She said, you know, I'm not done yet. I said, I'll see you next month. She said, yes, you will. Wow.
And he handed her a copy of Resentment Kills and left. I mean, I know. Maybe this is a broken record. I don't enjoy this.
I guarantee you everyone listening enjoys it. The fact that you don't enjoy it makes them enjoy it more.
Yeah. It's a
Could we have a reading at the wedding of one of Gramps' stories?
No, we couldn't. We absolutely could not. You know, go ahead, Robbie, what were you going to say?
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, I actually sat down with my dad this when was it? I think it was maybe it was last week. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Dude, Dad, you understand that 9 times this weekend, 9 times someone was shot in Baltimore."
Yeah, it's a very dangerous part of the world.
And by the way, they skew the numbers to their advantage. So if it happens in the county, they're like, "Oh, good."
Yeah.
You know, if you're in Brooklyn, and you're not quite... No problem. Not in Baltimore. But meanwhile, that's all Baltimore
stuff.
There's
also people that got, you know, punched in the face and robbed and stuff
that
like
that. And the other thing is they're talking about murders, but, you know, those 9 people that got shot, maybe none of them died.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. So I'm like, listen to me. You have to quit. Seriously. And he's like, well, no, because if I stop working, then I'll probably just die. I go, well, you're allowed to get something else to... Like, that's on you.
Yes.
Go find something else to keep you active.
Is there a job we could give them with Die Laughing Productions or The Robin Joe Show?
No, because what we need in Die Laughing really would be somebody to be in charge of social media. And my father just got his first smartphone.
We can't hire Gramps to run our Instagram.
Can you imagine?
By the way, he likes every hot photo I post of Tawanda. But Gramps still does not post today pic.
On his Instagram?
Nope. He just posts. He just likes photos.
Is
of
he
women.
Still following tons and tons of porn stars?
Of course he is.
So I know we got to take a break already soon, but I wanted to tell a story. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm early. So speaking of, because you said I didn't get back to you, and it reminded me of something. So I have a neighbor.
Uh huh.
Okay. One time I was walking around the block, he was out in his driveway. And he's like, oh, hey, how you doing? He goes, and then he knew who I was. And we developed a little bit of a friendship, and I invited him. He came to a comedy show. So, you know, we have a little bit of a friendship, but not so much that, I mean, we might have spoken 5 times in our lives. Okay. So he texts me, your garage door is open. It doesn't look like anyone is home. Okay.
All right.
I say, quit spying. Okay. So I'm just joking, right?
Uh-oh.
Then he put a thumbs up, like, oh. And I'm like, I should probably thank him.
Yeah.
He was nice to do that. I shouldn't just be a dick. I should probably, you know, okay.
Yeah, that you know, you're not close enough to make that joke.
So then I said, just kidding. It wouldn't shut, so I locked the inside door. He didn't respond. So, oh, boy. So then I was like, you know what? Let me do this. I go, hey, we're out back if you guys are bored. We were on the patio. As soon as I hit send, my phone died. I'm like, fuck. Now he's going to get that when I charge my phone again. It's going to be 3 hours from now, and then he's going to...
What do you mean? Why you plug your phone and immediately have...
Because my charger was up in my room, and I was out on the out on the patio. I wasn't going to run all the way upstairs. So then I'm like, now I'm stressed, okay? So this guy was nothing but cool to me.
This is the worst episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Right,
exactly. Ever. This guy was nothing but cool to me. I then made a smart remark. Then I invited him over, and I fucking wasn't out there, okay? So sure enough... Exactly as I suspected, no. Right? So finally it goes. It sends, but it sends 30 minutes after I was supposed to send it. He said, hey, I'm feeding the horde, because he's got kids. He goes, we'll be out later. Well, I'm already fucking inside, right?
Oh, God.
So now I have to say, hey, sorry, my phone died. You know, we're not out there anymore, right? So it's this very uncomfortable exchange. It started with me. Why can't I just be a regular human and be...
Yes.
You know, this is how it started. So then he goes, hey, no worry. You know, we end up not going. I go, nope, no problem. We'll be out next weekend. He's like, well, next weekend's Easter. We're going to be out of town. Meanwhile, I'm just being polite, right? So I'm like, God, this is such an odd exchange. So he might not even think that it was weird. But for me, I just went, oh, yeah, whatever. Hey, Katie just texted me, Jesus Christ, you're fucking up my social life.
You have to move now. You literally are close to having to move.
So anyway.
I've noticed this with you, Joe. Your phone, it's always at like 10% or less.
My phone, right? You mean when I do screenshots? My phone right now is...
No, whenever we're hanging out. We went to your bachelor party. We're in the casino. You're at 5%. You're starting your weekend at 5%.
My phone's at 65% right now.
But you don't have a charger in your car, which makes no sense.
I do have a charger in my car.
I don't understand. Because my phone, when I'm in the car, it's always charging.
Yes. We rode up to Atlantic City with Gary.
Who has a charger.
I don't know. I guess I didn't plug it in.
Yeah. No, you don't. It is weird. Because I'm always, since I got my new phone, I haven't been below 20% ever, I don't think.
Well, it probably has a brand new battery. It's a little
legit. Well, so does yours. You just got a new phone, too, the same time I did.
No, I haven't. My phone's like 2 years old.
What? I thought you just got the XR.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's 1 year old.
You don't have any idea what you're talking about.
No, but it's a year old, at least.
Okay, I don't think it's a year old, but Katie can correct you on that. Well, that's...
Hey, Katie, by the way, sorry.
No,
so,
it's okay.
Katie said you're fucking up my social life because... That guy, who's cool, his wife is going, I think it's tomorrow, they're going to a male, like, strip club thing.
He's going with her?
No.
Oh. And it's a girls' night out situation?
And they're like, hey, Katie, do you want to go? I'm like, fuck, yeah, go.
On a weeknight?
I think so. Hey, Katie!
That doesn't sound... How old are these people?
I mean, everybody's younger than me. They're probably... Hey, what day is that?
The mail review.
Oh, the neighbor thing?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Are you going?
On Tuesday night, you're going out to see
tomorrow,
male strippers.
Tuesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday.
But still.
Are you going to go?
I don't know. Is it going to be weird now?
No, I don't. I think
you
that's
have to go.
I think that's all on me. I don't think he's aware of all that stuff that's going on. By the way, did you see the picture of the Easter bunny that was at our... We had a community picnic.
Yeah, now we're all over the place now, Joe.
No, but this is all germane.
Okay. Do I go?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you
should
go.
This is your neighbor's, wife of this guy you just talked to.
I've never hung out with her for more than...
What's the occasion? Is it a birthday party or something?
I guess it's some girls' night or something.
I'm guessing they got a Groupon and it's about to expire.
It's like a book club or something, but it's like a book club with naked dudes.
So
what time is the event?
I mean, it's at night. I don't know. I guess sometime after work.
Katie, now that you've mentioned it on the show, you got to take one for the team and come back with a story.
Yeah, it would help if you did that. So, the reason I mentioned the Easter Bunny is the reason she got invited is we went to a community picnic.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you go to my Twitter, you can see it. This is the picture of the Easter Bunny.
It's pretty terrifying. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it was really scary.
So I, of course, socially go and shit on this Easter Bunny. Of course, it's the head of the... I find out it's the head of the community association's husband, right?
I mean, you're going to have to move soon.
No, you're probably right, because, first of all, the lady who heads the community association, she's, like, the hardest working person. Like, she really wants this to be a great community, and she's, hey, introducing everybody, whatever. Then the Easter Bunny comes out. It's the most horrifying, horrible Easter Bunny. You know, it's terrifying. And so I then shit on it. It ends up, it's her husband inside the suit.
Yes.
So I hope
I mean, you're just crushing it, Joe.
I know, man. I'm not even going to be able to leave the house, but.
Have you been to a male strip club, Katie?
No.
Because I don't think it's necessarily, women aren't that into that necessarily.
I don't, is it a club?
I don't know.
Well, we can't find out now because Joe and this guy are fighting.
So we're not fighting. What do you mean that guy loves me? We're not fighting.
He does not love you.
No, he does.
He thinks it's a little weird conversation.
No,
with you.
He doesn't.
I bet he does.
I mean, we call him if
no,
you want.
No, I don't. Let's just this is cut our losses.
This is the guy's wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. That guy loves me.
What if you go and you're all into it and they like, look over you're like, why are you like letting that guy just rub his dick on your face? And they like you're too into it. They're we're just here to observe.
And then like I send another text message, he just outs me to Joe. He likes their bros.
So your fiance really loves the black dick, apparently.
Every week.
What if I make it like my bachelorette party, like this
you
is,
change everything. Right.
Yeah, I give
that.
Them all things to wear, and
the you walk in. They're like, "Katie, you're back. The usual,
the thunder from down under."
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Do you know what it is? Is it like Chippendales? Is it?
I don't really know much about it. I just know it. By the way, I'm assuming that's what it is. She didn't describe it as that. I just thought because of. Did you also assume that?
I mean, I only get caught a little bit of wind of it, and then I was like, that'd be cool if you went, because I knew it would
like
be...
Like the thunder from down under or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking good,
show.
Katie. I think you're looking like you're healthy, you're working out. I think
Thanks.
It's good for you to go see some strippers.
All right.
Well, she does look good, but they're
no,
not necessarily
I've lost weight.
Correlated
I know.
Between those
This is a good
things.
Time for you to meet a stripper.
Yeah. I also, I also got in a car accident on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
no.
This is pretty crazy. So she's driving along, right?
Do you want me to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want me to tell the story?
Joe sure. wants to mansplain your car accident.
Do you have to mansplain it? So I'm driving down the road.
Go on.
I already said that part.
I'm on 695 westbound, about to get on 295 for all the local people. And I'm just driving along probably 50 miles an hour. And this fucking car comes out of nowhere and slams into the front of my car while I'm driving. Came out of nowhere. Like... I didn't even see it
just
next to me trying to merge.
So that's your rental out front.
Yes.
Okay.
So I, it pushes my car into the, I didn't get into the guardrail, but the.
Can I have Rob guess what happened after that? Can he guess?
Yeah, sure.
He drove off.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
So,
wow. No license plate, no clue.
Well, hold on. So it gets kind of juicy.
Yeah, you know.
So I am on the side of the road. I kind of like drive myself into like away from oncoming traffic and I put it in park and I can like, it's so quiet. I can hear myself breathing like really heavy. Like I just like, holy shit, what just happened?
Yeah.
And I look to the left and there's a car there and this guy is yelling through the, like my window's up, but he's yelling. And so I roll my window down and he's like, did that car just hit you? Did that Jeep just hit you? And I was like, I was out of it. I was like, I think so. Yeah, I think so. He goes, don't move. And he's took off. And he took off after somebody.
Because you've lost some weight. He's like, I got to help this woman
out. I'm telling you
she
right now, before you tell the rest of the story, if she's a big cow, I'm telling you, being hot, she's making a face, but that's great. I'm
that
not,
is such bullshit.
I'm not saying that this guy, what I'm saying is that you had a much better chance.
It's
of getting,
easier
to
be a good Samaritan for a 10.
He didn't just drive by to see what I looked like and then decide, hey, let
it
me.
It didn't hurt.
And. Okay.
It didn't hurt.
No, but he probably didn't know that until he saw. But anyway,
no.
So go ahead. So he chases after.
Chases after them. I call 911. They show up, and my car's all kinds of messed up. And he's like, what did the car look like? And I'm like, honestly, I think it was a Jeep. I don't really remember it really happening completely. And he goes, well, it sounds like it's a gray Jeep. And I said, oh, somebody caught up with him. He's like, yeah, some guy called in the tag number.
Nice.
He said, but the problem is the tag doesn't come back to that same car.
Oh, so this is real shady.
So yeah, so it's like either a stolen or something. He said, we're still investigating, but I don't think they ever...
Investigating, it means they're doing do nothing.
I mean, if I'm stealing a car, I'm going to drive better, safer.
These cops were awesome, though.
Again, they were like, again,
super helpful.
How hot you are. We've been over this.
Yeah, believe me. If it's me or Rob, they'd be like, yeah, we're going to go catch the guy. Let's hunt him
Leeds?
Down.
Yeah. We got to work on a chips down at the station.
That's from a movie.
Yeah, Big Lebowski. Robbie didn't like that
line. I
would
say that's a hilarious line, but that's exactly where it's from, the Big Lebowski.
Yeah. State police or Anne Arundel County police?
Maryland State Police.
Okay.
Did you tell him about the situation
knows.
In Robbie's neighborhood?
Robbie knows. Yeah. If it's
I thought no matter what you said, Robbie was going to shit on
it. Yeah, so right. So
did you tell him about the expired tags in that Dale City neighborhood?
Yes. Robbie wants to know if you reported his neighbor.
He knows the percentage of the hit and run. Like who at Maryland State Police. Never mind.
Want to know what happened with those neighbors, by the way?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, they moved away.
Good. Because of you, probably.
Yeah, had to.
Yeah, probably.
They might have. I don't know for
Actually,
sure.
Actually, at the murder mystery, Tommy did have the line of the night. Maybe we'll tell it
All
after
right.
the break.
Be right back. Rob and Joe Show.
From Die Laughing Productions, the creative geniuses behind The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game, come their latest murder mystery spectacular, the new Killer Karaoke Murder Mystery.
Sing for
going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be laughs, and there's definitely going to be a murder. If you've got the chops to not only solve a mystery, but to possibly belt out a tune, you could be selected to come on stage and sing during Sing for Your Life. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, April 20th at Amp by Strathmore. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
I know exactly what's about to happen.
Do it to me one more time.
Oh, so good.
Oh, the great Lionel Richie.
I'm going down. I'm going down.
You don't know that song?
I swear I don't.
Got my whole world up.
Do you know that song, God. Katie?
What the hell is that?
That's Rob's
That's
rendition.
The girl that did, she sang a parody about bacon.
You've never seen The Lion King and you know the words to that song?
It's a pretty famous song.
Is it song?
I've never heard that song.
Is it,
song?
Yes, is it famous? I haven't heard it either.
So I've never Google heard it. That song in my Two life.
Different. I'm surprised you've never heard of it.
All right, let's
I know it now and it's a pretty good song, but three of us don't know it.
I think it's even a cover. I don't think it's originally Mary J. Blige. I mean, I think it's a pretty famous song.
I'm going to go. Let's
Marcus, do you know that song?
Sorry, no.
Oh, it's Rose Royce. They sang I Want to Get Next to You, which is one of my faves, and also Car Wash. But let's see if
no,
we can.
It's Mary J. Blige is that the one that you were just playing, I think.
Right, but it says. Yeah,
but I don't know if she covered it.
She did. Okay. So that's what I'm telling you. It's Rose Royce who sang I Want to Get Next to You, which is one of my favorites of all time. And then yes. They also sang Car Wash. But here we go. Mary J. Blige version. Let's see here. U.S. Okay, let's go to the U.S. Top 40. It wasn't on the U.S. Here we go. The Billboard Hot 122.
Okay.
It's a marginal hit. I'm just saying. It's a very marginal hit.
Well,
I was going to tell the great Tommy Cimbalo
line. Oh, yes,
line.
Please. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I think I told you already. Yeah, God, it was so awesome. Funny. So, Marcus liked this. So, in the green room, we walk downstairs and there's three beanbag chairs in the green room. And Tommy goes, hey, look, Robbie, groupies. For those of you who are new listeners, Robbie lost his virginity to a beanbag chair.
No, he masturbated on a beanbag chair.
Well, that's what I say.
That's good times. So look, there's Robbie. Splitting there's hairs, Robbie's guys. Group. Good job, Tommy. Well, we had two murder mysteries, I guess three technically, this past week. Thursday night, the DC Improv, back to the 80s. And then you guys did the new one, the 90s, without me. Two sold-out shows at the Bright Box in beautiful Winchester, Virginia.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, our good friend Tom He offered
of five plated coasters.
He offered to make me more coasters. And one thing, God, it gave me such great pleasure. The last time we were there, I think, is when he gave me the coasters.
Yeah.
And I gave out coasters to everybody. I kept eight, but I gave coasters to everybody else. And two of them were in the green room. So there's awesome. Five plated coasters in the green room at the Bright Box.
I guess there's no really stories other than they were the improv show was great and the Winchester shows are great. You told me so.
I can't think
we're
of
happy.
Anything. You know what I did though, which I've never done before.
What's that?
I don't even know if I've done it.
Well, you played my part.
I love it. It's so fun.
I'm glad that you were able to live up to my standards.
How do you think I did, Rob? You think I did okay?
A+.
Yeah.
A+.
So
sweet. Less work for me.
Yeah. What do you think I did on stage? I don't even know if I've ever done this in comedy.
Well, you did on stage?
I did this on stage.
Did you do the acting out when you're acting like you're...
No. I drank.
Oh, that's right, because Justin is saying he's got you into Malibu and diet. What is Malibu? Some sort of rum?
Yeah, coconut flavored rum.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I don't think I got buzzed, but I was definitely drinking up on stage. So maybe it's a new thing for me. Yeah, I'll branch out.
Did you dress in your 90s Sean John sweatshirt?
I did wear my Sean John sweatshirt. And Justin's like, that thing's so horrible. He thought it was a knockoff. But he checked the tag and it is
did
legit.
Sean? Because he didn't wear his outfit for in.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice that.
In
he
Annapolis,
did. He had a. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. He had a really. He had a jacket on that looked like a jacket Zach Morris would wear, and he had a blonde wig on.
Oh, he loves the wigs. Good for him.
I go, why are you wearing a blonde wig? He goes, well, I'm Zach.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, actually. Yeah.
And then him playing your part, which I don't want to get... This is not interesting for people, but that went well.
It was good, yeah.
Okay, good. Anyway, I was at the DC Improv doing comedy, the stand-up, why I couldn't do the murder mystery. By the way, I felt bad... you know, David Koechner was in Spokane this past weekend. We did their room in Tacoma earlier in the year, and it was fantastic. And I heard that the Spokane room is just as good. And I couldn't do it because I had this improv date, and I'll get to why I chose that in a second. But, you know, I'm in his rider, you know, in his contract. So, you know, I had told him I couldn't do it, but he never communicated that. So... Spokane, or he communicated to his people, and they never communicated. Anyway, the club was under the impression that I was still doing the show, so they were advertising me as, you know, on the website.
Oh,
with
I thought
Rob
they were
going
to say they sent you a check.
Well, no. So we have a lot of listeners because Michael O'Mara's show has a Spokane fan base. You know, Dirk Vastrick, Hall of Fame member.
Oh, yeah.
So I had several people messaging me, hey, so excited, bought tickets, can't wait to see you and Koechner. They had a post on the fan page. Hey, Rob Mayers. And I felt so bad because, like, no, I'm not going to be there. Sorry. So I apologize to anybody. It wasn't my fault. But hopefully you still went and had a great time. And if you saw Koechner and talked to him, feel free. I hope you shouted out my name.
How long did it take them to figure out you weren't coming?
Well, once I saw that, I started telling
people. Oh, you let them know.
Gotcha. And then the club had emailed me, give me the details. And I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not. And they just, you know, book somebody local. It's not that hard to fill the spot. But anyway, I was at the improv, and one of the reasons what I particularly wanted to do this week is because a woman had rented out the club on Saturday night for her 50th birthday party, which means she has to basically buy, you know, two shows worth of, you know, cover charges, you know, $285 times 22 times two,
but
plus
some
food
of that
and drink.
Goes to the comics. But then they're still doing the same thing, and they're paying you guys. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah,
and it was a national headliner at the
Eric Griffin. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I got a little extra too. And me and the MC Paris Sachet got a little extra for doing one show. But basically, she has to rent out.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, this woman her name's Kathy Merrill Williams. She owns Washingtonian Magazine.
Okay, I was just trying to figure out how much money you'd have to put out to do something.
Well,
like this.
I heard a rumor, but it's and I don't. That's none of my business.
But anyway, I like to speculate. I'm not going to ask you to speculate on air, but I am going to ask you to write down the number that you heard on that piece of paper. And then
this person wasn't sure, by the way.
And then the audience can hear my reaction to, hold on, you got to give it some more lead. Yeah, it's a pencil. I know. Back in the Stone Age. All right. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Okay. So, and she had seen me there years ago because Allison had mentioned to me, yeah, this woman is renting out
for the weekend. And she mentioned, you know, I was asking her if she has any local comics that she likes. And then she mentioned my joke about moving. She didn't remember my name.
Oh, cool. That's what got you booked.
Right. So,
and by the way, you said Allison. Allison is an owner, one of the owners of
yes.
the improv.
So that's why I was like, well, I definitely want to do this week. I mean, obviously, I can do the improv. You know, if I said no, she'd give me another week later in the year. But I wanted to be able to.
They asked for you, right?
Right. So.
You also didn't have to drive to Washington.
Exactly. So, Washington, D.C., easier than Washington State. So, the night begins, and there's like, you know, the whole spread of food and balloons everywhere. And I meet the birthday. First of all, there's a guy doing a guest spot who's her personal trainer.
How was he?
This French guy. I meet him. He goes, I know you. Did you used to go to Wiseacres? Wiseacres is where I started doing stand-up.
Yeah, I remember Wiseacres.
And then I remembered him.
A French guy from Wiseacres?
Yes.
His name Pierre?
Laurent.
Just as bad.
So he couldn't have been more excited. Like, he kept coming to the green room. Is the show starting? We're like, dude, it's not close to starting.
Now, is it the MC, then him?
The MC. Well, first of all, it's not. It's Kathy gets up, greets people. Her brother comes up, says some words.
Oh, it's a party, right.
Yeah. Her 9-year-old and her 11-year-old kid come up. Her sorority sister.
What is the 9-year-old, 11-year-old? What do they say?
They're actually pretty funny.
Oh, really?
Like the one kid, he said something, and then people were applauding. He goes, since these applause breaks are making me have to stay up here longer. Right? And then the other kid was like, you said it had to be at least 30 seconds, so he's timing it. They're actually pretty funny.
That's
right?
Good.
So, and at one point the kid said, yeah, my mom told me to say that I love her and all this. And she goes, I didn't say that. But anyway, I meet her before. I go to introduce myself. And she goes, yes, I saw you here years ago. You tell that joke about, you know, your old friends are different from your new friends. And I make a face like that's not ringing a bell. She goes, oh, it wasn't you. Well, I'm sure you're going to be funny. And then moves on. And I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking the moving joke is what it was told to me. And I'm like, is she just not describing that joke well? Because that happens. So, anyway, the show starts, and it's funny because Paris has a particularly good joke. She's a black woman. She's very funny, super cool. We really hung out and talked a lot about the industry and stuff, and she's very wise beyond her years. But she has a joke about she didn't really know there was two different kinds of white people until Trump, because then she's seeing white people argue about politics with each other. So it's still not really that much of an anti-Trump joke. But she was concerned because this is, of all the audiences in D.C., rich, older, white, probably going to be the most likely to have Trump supporters in the audience.
Right, but you never see that in a I haven't seen a lot of that, especially at the improv.
A lot of what?
Pro-Trump. Because I've heard some anti-Trump stuff at the D.C. improv.
Right.
Usually it's well-received.
Yes. But this is not a typical audience.
Got it.
Right. This is a birthday party for
right,
privileged people.
Exactly. So she did the joke and it was fine. But then this guy Laurent goes up and I'm excited because I feel like I'm just going to open my set just making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he does fine, right? And of course, I open my set just making fun of how excited he was. He's doing shots of V8. He's snorting celery. He walked off stage. He walked like straight off the stage and was
right
like kissing
front.
People in the crowd. So I just, and then they're from, she went to Cornell. So she has all these sorority sisters there. And at one point during my set, I go, yeah, I'm also a Cornell graduate. They're like, yay. And I'm like, I'm just fucking kidding you. I didn't go to Cornell
High School.
Yeah, I said I went to Cornell with one L. It's an online real estate school. I failed. But I ended up having a pretty good set. But why I tell the moving joke, and I see the birthday girl whisper to her friend, which makes me think she's saying, oh, this is the joke.
She's probably like, oh, this isn't the guy I thought it
was.
No.
She's saying, like, this is the joke that she meant. So I'm like, okay, good. So I get off stage. The show, Eric does his thing. It's a fun night. She comes up. By the way, Eric Griffin. Eric Griffin, yeah, the headliner. He has a lot of jokes about, like, you know, like, hey, if you're going to you're gonna be a delivery person for groceries, you know, like this girl calls him up and says, yeah, you ordered two things of water. Can you help me with one? And he's like, no. I mean, I hired you to do. If you're not able to carry shit, then don't get a carry shit job. That's the whole,
right?
And then he has this whole thing about, you know, could you wear a two-piece bathing suit? Yes, you could, but should you? And then he tags it. He does like three of these. You know, Could you do stand-up comedy if you're a personal trainer? Yes. But should you? No.
Did it crush?
It crushes. And he also like spends 5 minutes talking about how I'm sure you're fucking him, right? Is he fucking you, right? And then she has to go up there and say, I just want to apologize to Laurent's wife who's in the audience. So the laughs that we got off of him being there was worth him doing his set. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So then afterwards, I see her. She goes, oh, great job. You were the person I was thinking of. You also told this joke about going through the forest. And again, it's a joke I don't recognize. And I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm trying to connect with you. I'm dying to connect. And every time you reference something, I got nothing. I should have just lied and said yes.
I swear, I thought where this was going, mm-hmm. that she was going to remind you of a joke that used to work that doesn't work anymore.
It's possible. Or that I've completely forgotten. But that didn't ring a bell to me. But, you know, maybe I could have riffed something off the cuff and... It could have been a moment that happened that I don't...
I'm really sad you didn't tell that one joke that I loved of yours.
The pie plate closer.
Yeah, you should have just said, is this it?
But it ended up being, you know, of course, everyone I talk to, I talk about the murder mystery and I give out cards. And, you know, I'm trying to angle for a corporate hookup.
Which we're going to be back at the DC Improv.
Yeah, July 21st, doing the 90s show.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, I am headlining a room in Lincoln, Nebraska that weekend.
Wow. So I guess, oh, good. I don't mind.
I'm flying back.
Oh, darn. I thought I was hoping I'd get to play your role again.
Oh, no. I mean.
No, I'm good.
No, I mean, I could. I was going to fly back that day anyways, but now I just flew earlier. So I'm not. I mean, I fly at like 6 a.m., but I'll get to home at like 1 p.m. I can take a nap and then come back.
Maybe you're too tired. You never know.
Yeah.
Well. It's good to know that you can. You really like doing that, huh?
It was fun, yeah. Well, first of all, the script's on the table. That makes a big difference.
Well, the first act, yeah.
That makes a big difference. So.
Did you have a cheat sheet for the rest of it?
Oh, yeah, cheated the whole time, yes.
Yeah, it's not hard to do.
No, not hard at all. No.
A lot of it's just riffing with the audience during shit.
Well, the good thing is I had the Zima blocking the script. So I basically was just reading off the script the whole time.
Yeah, there's Zima involved in the 90s show.
Yeah, sorry, spoiler alert, I guess.
You'll check it out. But, hey, we're doing it May 25th at Magoobie's Joke House. As well, and then July 21st at the DC Improv. We'll be at Amp by Strathmore. It's in Bethesda this Saturday night, doing the show you haven't done in a long time. It's the show we did overseas. Sing
we haven't done
life.
It in over a year, right?
Well, Tommy and Eric and Sean and I did it in Syracuse last summer.
Oh, I didn't think about
and then
that.
We did it last winter. We did it overseas, but we haven't done it with the full posse in a while. Marianne Sirk from 98 Rock is going to be joining us.
Well, that was over a year ago that you guys were at
A year ago, overseas. January. Yeah.
Jeez, I just lost my train of thought. I had something fucking hilarious.
But anyway, happy birthday, Kathy Merrill Williams. You look 50. You look fabulous. And hopefully...
By the way, the person that she's throwing this party for...
It's herself.
Oh, she threw it for herself.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's her birthday party.
Did she turn a milestone age?
50. Haven't I said that like 6 times in the
story?
Maybe
you have. She's younger than us, younger than me.
Well, you're 50. It's the same age.
Man, I feel like I should have accomplished more.
Yeah. She's lapping you. She's crushing you.
Hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. She went to Cornell. Where'd you go?
Went to the University of Maryland.
That's
actually,
right.
I'm lucky because I think I've said this before, but Maryland's a good school.
Not when you went, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's hard to get into. Mm-hmm. And Robbie actually was a good student, too. Robbie's in National Honor Society and blah, blah, blah.
I believe that.
And then
I just got in.
I just got in. It was, you know, I didn't have good grades. I didn't have a particularly high SAT score. And they let me right in.
So Friday night, I did 4 shows at the Improv because they have the lounge. So I did an early and a late in the lounge, early and a late in the main room. And I'm in the lounge, and there's a couple in the front row. It's only seats like 60 people. So sometimes it's a show you need to like talk to people. And there's a couple in the front row. I just ask him if he's a good lover. He makes a weird face. I make fun of him. Then I say to him, is this your woman? And they're like 25. And the girl's like,
oh, she's offended because you're a misogynist.
Right.
Okay.
And I'm like, what? I can't say woman. Like, oh, you meant, I know, I'm asking if you were together. I don't think he's owned you, all right?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm getting mad. I was like, is he your man? She goes, absolutely. Well, then what the fuck, right? So it takes me a while to get her. I'm doing really well, but I don't get her until like halfway through the show.
And that's who you're concerned with.
Right, but the second I got her, I referenced the Your Woman thing again just to let her know
that she was wrong.
Right, that right. I wanted her to get angry
again. I remember what I was going to talk about.
Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and Joe will tell you his great story. Rob and Joe Show, be right back.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded Sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife.
Barry Bickerstaff!
Good line from the bachelor party.
I don't remember. All right.
You forgot it already.
No, I got it. So, Justin Schlegel, Tommy Cimbazzo, Eric Woodworth are doing a benefit.
Yeah, I saw those texts, but I didn't really know that what that was about.
The benefit is for a animal rescue.
Okay.
Aw.
The animal rescue is the animal rescue where I got my beloved dog, Oscar.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay? So it's a benefit with three of my friends. Okay? It's for what I currently love more than anything in the world. Just kidding. Katie won, my kids too, and then Oscar. So
sorry, Robbie.
You guys are out.
Sorry, Grams.
Oscar's next.
Oscar.
Hey. So
Oscar.
Then it's also 5 miles from my house in Pasadena, Maryland. Okay?
And you're not invited.
Well, hold on. We don't invite. It's a public event, right? And by the way, you want to support this shelter, which gave me such joy in giving me, you know, and that's where I got my dog.
Yeah, you want to give back.
Let me just repeat it. Three of my closest friends.
Yes.
5 miles from my house.
And it's a comedy show?
A comedy show to benefit the shelter where I got my dog,
and
Oscar.
You also do comedy.
Correct. However, unfortunately, it was on the night of the premiere of Game of Thrones. So as a result, I said, there's no way in hell I'm going to this thing, and I nixed it. However, Game of Thrones started, I'm asleep. I was asleep by 9, so I missed the comedy show, and I missed Game of Thrones. We were watching it before you.
I watched it when I got home from my gig. Did you watch Tiger Woods? Did you watch that?
Well, you know I did, because we had that.
That's right.
Yeah, we were in a Masters pool, which isn't going to be necessarily good, but I'm notorious for finishing last or second to last. I don't think I've done anything other than that. And actually contended. I actually was in first place with 6 holes left.
Yeah, you were very much in the running.
And I ended up losing by 2 strokes to Rob and our friend Vegas come out of nowhere. Had to suck for you.
It sucked.
It was Tiger's bogey on the last hole.
Both my guys bogeyed their last hole.
So that's, shame on you. So one thing that I noticed, Robbie's not going to like this, but this Tiger... The Tiger that won the tournament.
Yeah.
He bogeyed the last hole. I'll bet that hasn't happened.
Did it because he was playing conservative.
I got that. But I don't know this for a fact. I'd be interested in knowing that. I'll bet you there isn't an 18th hole to win any of his majors that he bogeyed. I'll bet that's the first time that happened.
I don't know. Most of his majors that he's won, he's been in the lead the whole time. Or going into the final day.
No, used to win by 7-8 strokes, something crazy. But that seemed very a different Tiger. How about people are like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this. Who gives a shit? It's a guy who's already won 14 times.
Really? You're not swept away in it? The comeback?
No, I don't.
Everyone else is.
It's like if 10 years go by and then the New England Patriots win another Super Bowl. Who cares?
No, it's if Tom Brady wins another Super Bowl. When the Patriots could have a new...
Well, you can't...
It's the same... No, from what he came back from...
The same story, you could say... Well, I mean, what he came back from was not really that big of a deal. He was...
Back injury?
Okay, but we don't know the severity of that.
I mean, he's in trouble with the law, trouble with...
Well, he got a DUI, which a million people have done, and he was promiscuous, which another zillion... Probably every athlete is.
He went from, like, everyone... loved him to like everyone thinking this guy's just some loser.
Well, I don't know. They thought he was a loser. I thought that here's what happens. They prop this guy up.
Yeah.
I never liked him when he was, I was never a front runner. I was never a big Tiger Woods because I'm like, well, you don't know this guy. It's just like Michael Jordan.
Well, neither was I, but it was.
But hear me out. So it's just like Michael Jordan's such a bad person. If you hear the stories about him. But everybody, because of his greatness, they then make him a great man. And that used to get on his nerves. But then when he fell from grace, I was like, okay, cool. I like this guy now, right? He's just a human and everybody realizes who he is. And now you want to see him be redeemed, which he is. What's funny because everybody's saying, oh my God, all that he came back from. And that is just a different narrative than we usually hear. Normally, if you do something that the public doesn't like, you carry that around, you know, like Atlas is carrying around the world for the rest of your life. I mean, we just talked about Louis C.K. Louis C.K. is somebody who was very, very apologetic, never tried to run from what he did, said, look, this is what I did. I'm sorry. It was wrong, blah, blah, blah. And there are people still saying, fuck that guy.
Well, that's why Tiger's, you know, issues are people don't even care anymore.
Well,
because compared to what we're dealing with Weinstein and R. Kelly and Cosby and all this stuff, it's just
well,
cheated.
The Louis C.K. thing seems about on par with the Tiger stuff, right?
Well, no, Tiger just cheated. He didn't do anything. I mean,
we don't know what.
I haven't heard these women claim that he did anything other than just have sex with them.
So you're saying that
be a
saying,
bad boyfriend?
I'm in a position of power over you. I ask you if I can masturbate in front of you. You feel obligated because of my power to say yes. You consent. But because of the power dynamic, it's a little fucked up. I do it. I realize it's wrong. I apologize. That's worse than you being married, having sex with, you know, probably hundreds of women.
Yeah.
Right? Outside being, I don't know if this is, at the very least having an opiate issue, driving while on those drugs. I mean, they seem as bad to me. By the way, I just think either just sound like people. Neither one of them make me nuts.
No, because I don't think that the Tiger, it's a victimless crime. She gets $500 million.
It's not a victimless crime if you get into a car on drugs and alcohol.
Oh, no,
and drugs.
You're right about that. Yes.
But I also, people that I love have had DUIs, and what am I going to hate them?
No, I don't even know what we're debating here.
I'm saying that if you endanger other people's lives, that's as bad as you masturbating in front of somebody that you have power over, even though you have consent, but because of the power dynamic, it's not fair consent. That's as bad to me as which, by the way, honestly, my level of bad, that's a 2 and Cosby's a 10. I mean, I'm not defending it, but it is something you should be able to apologize yourself out of. And it looks like Tiger's been given that pass. But you just worked with Louis C.K. the other week, and they can't announce more than a week out ahead of time for fear that there'll be people coming to protest the club. You follow what I'm saying?
Because there's no perceived female victim in the Tiger Woods. Okay. I mean, his wife's cheated on, but she
I'm not
gets,
talking about that. But again, I mean, I swear, I'm not making any argument that
but
these things
just,
are horrible.
But there's he didn't wreck his car. Nobody got hurt. So
that's true.
And everybody knows is either driven drunk or knows someone that has.
Okay. Let's say you think one is worse than the other. One's a 2, one's a 3, and then Weinstein's a 9 and Cosby's a 10. Is that where we are?
I don't know, but I don't know why you don't get why this is a great comeback. That's the only thing I care about debating right now.
Well, I don't think it's again, I don't know the severity of his back injury. He's competing. So, I mean, it's, you know what I mean? He's playing a professional sport. So it's almost like, hey, I can't believe this quarterback's still winning. Well, he's playing. He's made the team and he's starting. But, it's like you're in the tournament. And by the way, Tiger's also been competing.
But in a solo sport, you rarely see a guy who's at the top and then have 11 years where he's a laughingstock or bad or uncompetitive and then get great again.
I'm not disagreeing with that, but Jack Nicklaus won one in 86 and it had been.
But he just faded because of age. He didn't. It was the natural evolution. Tiger faded in what should have been the prime of his career. He was this guy. He had this swagger.
I hear what you're saying.
He was dominant. And then we saw that he's cheating with these girls in Perkins restaurants. And now he went from this laughingstock. And he has to go from this guy who's got this swagger about him. Like, then all his stories. You're like, this guy's a dork, actually. He's not that cool. And now he's just not even. He loses all his endorsements. Well, his wife loses him. Loses all his money. Now he's hurt. He can't. He chokes now. Everything that he was was dropped down. And he had to rebuild himself.
Well, I love the redemption. I love it. I love it. The idea that at 43 in the game of golf that he can't muster enough to win a major tournament, at one point being, you know, a standard deviation better than the entire rest of golf, it doesn't. I'm just saying it's not this crazy shock. There are people crying. God, my co-host Kirk has tweeted 19 things about it. Yeah, I mean, people. By
former
the way,
landlord Phil is very happy.
Well, it's good for golf.
Former show announcer Tim's happy. He bet $100, 10-1.
Yeah, won $1,000.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Robbie, did you give a shit?
Not one bit.
Marcus, you give a shit?
Fuck no.
Jesus.
Jeez.
All right. Well, you guys are fun. All right. Let's wrap this thing up.
People are shitting on us talking about sports, but we really weren't. We were talking about Louis C.K.
Well,
doesn't play a sport.
If you think we were just talking about sports, you're an idiot.
Hey, the name of the person who said his name, More Baseball Talk. That's their name.
No, that was sports. By the way, Chris Davis got hit. Actually got a home run today. He's back.
Yeah, but it took him from Monday when we broadcast all the way to Saturday. Right. And we were already talking about the record back then.
This is sports talk now.
Got in the 50s.
If you guys can see the difference.
Hey, we talked about this. Tell me if you agree. I just said this on the air today on 98 Rock as well. Chris Davis went 0 for 53 or something like that before he got a hit.
Yeah.
Will that be the biggest story for the Baltimore Orioles this year, Chris Davis's hit?
Biggest? No.
Well, what could be bigger?
You have some guy you call up from Double A, hit a grand slam to win the game.
That's
or something.
That's not a bigger story than the national story about Chris Davis that was followed on ESPN and was one of the top stories.
What if they lose 20 in a row? Is that bigger?
Yeah, but if they lose 20 in a row, it will be bigger.
Okay, 10 in a row?
No, 10 in a row. No, teams lose 10 in a row all the time.
What if they win two games in a month?
They might
go 2-28 in July.
So if you're telling me, are there scenarios that would be bigger? The answer is yes.
I'm just saying.
Would it be?
But
yes.
Now I'm asking, would those be bigger?
If they go 2-28, yes, that'll be bigger.
What if Chris Davis hits 300 for a month? Is that a bigger story?
It is now.
Yes.
It wouldn't have been. It's the story. It's the same story. You couldn't separate those. Hey, if Chris Davis batted 300 to start this month, no one would say a fucking word about it. Maybe a little bit because he was so bad last year, but because he was 0 for 53 or whatever it is, yes, if he bats 300 a month, that's just an extension.
So you're saying
the team
you love, who's your favorite team in all of sports, the biggest story they'll have is happened in April and it's their worst player getting a hit.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's correct.
That's pretty sad, but you're probably right, actually.
Horribly sad.
Anyway, let's wrap this up. Oh, duh. So tomorrow I'm getting a root canal.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, you know, my tooth has been bothering me, and of course I keep ignoring it.
Does it hurt right now?
No. But last week I was driving home on Sunday from Virginia Beach, and it was hurting, and the other teeth were hurting, and then, like, my throat was getting, like, swollen. I felt like this is all connected, and I was really tired. And I'm like, I've been working a lot, and I'm driving. You know, I shouldn't be that tired. And I get home, I go to sleep, and I wake up, and then my schedule's all weird. But then I come here last Monday, and I feel fine. But then I go home, and I start feeling really bad, and my ear's hurting, and my neck is swollen. And now that's when I was talking to you. I was like, I might not be able to. I'm worried about my shows that weekend. So I go to the dentist, and they're like, yeah. First of all, he says, hey, you don't seem like you're funny, because I have comedian as my profession. I go, well, you know, I am at the dentist. So I'm on my back. You're poking me. You just said I need a root canal. I don't know. In my mind, I was like, well, you don't seem like a dentist. But then I realized, actually, you do. I would think you were a dentist if I saw you just on the
hair
street.
Hair parted on the side, straight as hell,
exactly,
glasses, right?
So anyway, fast forward tomorrow. I could have done it today, but I waited. I said, no, I need to have my voice for the show, for the Robin Joe show.
You waited.
So tomorrow morning, I will have my root canal.
Jeez, you waited to have your root canal because of this show?
Well, he gave me some antibiotics. It was my body was getting really tired because it was fighting this infection. So that was causing me to feel, you know, like I was like at the flu or something. I'm not in any pain now, but I will.
Are you on any kind of drugs?
Just the antibiotics to fight the infection. Then I take, I'm taking like 3-4 Advil a day and stuff like that.
Man, that sucks.
And I'm brushing my teeth after every time I eat. Because
I feel like that would make it hurt.
No, because I feel like there's this hole in my tooth and shit gets in there and infects it.
There's a hole in your tooth?
Yeah.
Gross. Have you looked at it?
No. She's like, you know, there's a hole in her tooth. Like, oh yeah, I guess I could have mentioned that. I can feel it with my tongue.
Is it a molar? What
molar
is it?
Molar number. It's number 31, if anybody's curious out there.
How many teeth do you have?
30-something.
I don't know. Yeah, I told you. I counted my teeth the other day. I only have 24 teeth.
What?
Sorry, God.
I still have baby teeth.
So
you only have 24 teeth?
Yeah, and it's funny because people are like, you have a big mouth. I'm like, no, I don't. So
what?
So I swear.
I think you counted wrong.
No, I'm telling you I didn't.
What?
Here, if you can fill in, I'll count right now.
I'm so glad we're ending the show on this. This is good. You're counting with your tongue? Okay.
12.
Robbie, have you heard? Is this a thing in the Robinson family?
I'm going to be counting my teeth soon.
24. I have 24 teeth. So it's funny because I remember I was reading how many teeth are in the human mouth or whatever. It's like 34. I was like, huh. I'm off by like 10.
It doesn't seem
teeth.
Like there's that many in there, but they told me that this is tooth number 31.
No, I'm sorry. I'm 8 teeth short, so it must be 32 teeth are supposed to be in there, and I have 24 teeth.
So you've been chewing at like 75% capacity your whole life.
So look at it this way. My wisdom teeth are gone. I guess you still have your wisdom teeth.
Yes.
So my wisdom teeth are gone, and then I guess some other random teeth are gone.
God, you poor son of a bitch.
But it's all symmetrical.
This should be a new joke you could add. This could be a new closer. Yeah. Your 24 teeth closer.
I just got to just start counting my teeth. 24. Good night.
What's your favorite TV show? The one about your teeth? It's 24 joke. All right, guys, that's the show. Come out to Bethesda, Amp by Strathmore, this Saturday night, 8 p.m. Sing for your life. Or not. See you then later.
Later.
My cat died.
Oh, man.
Oh, jeez, dude. Yeah. Right while we were on the air?
Yeah, that would have been hilarious to talk about. Sorry.
No, Saturday.
How old is Sorry, it? Man. How old was it?
17.
Oh. Yeah. That sucks, but it lived a good life, yeah. Right? 17 years?
That's when Heathcliff died.
No, absolutely.
As Marcus is saying that, my cat's rubbing on my leg.
Oh, what a rub it in his face.
Man, it must feel good, Robbie.
My cat's never felt better.
Yeah. You guys are assholes.
It looks like it's in perfect health.
No sympathy whatsoever.
No, I feel really bad. I do. That's very tough. I don't like that at all.
Later.
See you. Later, fellas.
Thanks, Marcus.
See you, Marcus.
See you, Marcus.
No problem. Bye.
Sorry about your cat.